Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
This morning, we are beginning a new series called The Brink, and over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at what it's like to live life when circumstances and situations seem to push you right out there to the edge of yourself, to the edge of your resources, to the edge of your ability, and you feel like you're living life without margin, for lack of a better way of saying it. And so we'll be looking at a few topics over the next few weeks. We'll be looking at how do you deal with depression. We'll be looking at the idea of uncertainty. We'll address being overwhelmed with stress. We'll talk about hurt that comes from grief or loss. And overall, most importantly, what does God want to do in those hard seasons of life when you find yourself out there at the brink? Today, though, we are starting by talking about worry. That is one thing that can be a chronic problem for many people, just worry. And worry is so powerful that not only can worry be a discouragement to you, worry can be debilitating. You can get in a cycle of worry, and you can just worry yourself and just go around and around and around. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you would say that you are, maybe you would say you're skilled at worry. And I don't say that lightly, because to really be a chronic worrier, you have to exert a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of focus in order to truly be a chronic worrier. Nobody becomes a chronic worrier by accident. It takes effort to become a chronic worrier. And we're going to look in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 today about this idea of worry and what God wants to do during those seasons of worry. Before we get to the text, I just want to share with you, I can remember the very first time I was ever struck with a very deep sense of worry. I was just a child, and there was a particular book that I wanted my mom to buy for me, and it was about outer space. And I asked her if she would get it for me, and she did. And I started reading, and I was reading about comets, and I was reading about meteors, and I was reading about our solar system. And I'll never forget, I came to this one chapter, and it was the first time I'd ever heard the term used. It was a chapter about what were referred to as the planet killers. Light reading for a child. It was about the asteroids that are large enough that if they were to strike our planet, they could wipe out all life. So I was reading this chapter about the planet killers, and I remember that the writer mentioned that they were notoriously hard to track, and that they might just come hurtling out of that dark, deep vacuum of space only to arrive one day on our planet's doorstep and just say, "Surprise, here I am." And that terrified me as a child. I didn't think it could get any worse, but as I was flipping through to a few more chapters over, the writer assured the readers that if a rogue space rock didn't wipe us out, then our own sun eventually would. One day it would just wink out and leave our corner of the universe a very dark and cold place, but not before it expanded to the point that it burned everything up. I was really struck with worry. It was very shortly after that that I sat down in front of the television and Annie came on, the musical. And I was sitting there watching it, thinking about these things. And she started singing, "The sun will come out tomorrow." Well, don't bet your bottom dollar on that, you little dreamer, because it might not. You better hope Daddy Warbucks has a really deep bomb shelter, because when the planet killer arrives, you won't be singing anymore. And I remember going to my mom and talking to her about this, and she said, "Honey, you're worried about things you can't control. God is in control. You're worried about things you can't control." That's the way of a child, right? Worried about things they can't control. But it's not just children. We worry about things we can't control as adults. It doesn't go away just when you pass from childhood to adulthood. And in Matthew chapter 6, listen to what Jesus tells his disciples. Matthew 6, verse 25. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? We'll get to the rest of the passage in just a moment. Jesus lays out for his disciples the reason that they and we are not to worry. And in this context, he is speaking of provision. But the general principle can be applied to all areas of worry. The first thing we find in verses 25 and 26 is that God's care for you is connected to your value to him. Because you are valuable, God cares for you. Look back at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now let's go ahead and define this term worry or anxious there in verse 25. Worry and responsibility are two different things. You do understand this. They are two completely different things. We do have a responsibility to do certain things to take care of ourselves. God feeds the birds, yes, but he doesn't just throw the worms into the birds' mouths. The birds go out and they search for worms, and God provides them with food. So there is a difference in worry and responsibility, big difference. The word anxious that is used here and throughout this passage, it's a word that means pulled in opposite directions. That's literally what it means. Worry literally pulls you apart. It pulls you in two different directions. And God offers that wholeness to bring you back together. So he says, are you not of more value than they? Aren't you of more value than the birds? The understood answer is yes, because God's care for you is connected to your value to him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter writes this, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That word casting is a word that means to throw something onto something else. We are to take all of our concerns, our worries, our cares, our fears, our doubts, and we can cast them over onto Jesus. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. And because he cares for you, that means that you are valuable to him. It's the same thing that Jesus is saying here in Matthew. Are you not of more value than they? A worried life is a divided life. Jesus wants to show you that he cares for you and to bring wholeness in those areas where you're worried. Because whenever we start worrying about whether or not God's going to show up, what we're really saying is, God, I don't know if you really care. I don't know if you really care for what I'm facing. I don't know if you really care for the situation that I'm in the middle of. Well, be assured, you're of more value than the birds. And you can cast your fears upon God. You can cast your cares upon God. You can cast your anxieties upon God. Why? Because he cares for you. And his care is directly related to the value that he sees you as having. So God cares about you because God values you. Secondly, look at verse 27. Jesus says, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Which of you by being anxious can add an hour to his life? The answer is you can't. And since that be the case, since you can't control the little things, you don't need to worry about the big things. This is an argument you'll find in the Bible multiple times. Jesus uses these types of arguments. It's an argument from the lesser to the greater. Sometimes you'll find people making arguments from the greater to the lesser. What do I mean by that? Well, let me give you an example. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, Paul makes an argument of the greater to the lesser. Listen to this. He says, he who did not spare his own son, talking about God sending Jesus, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That is an argument from the greater to the lesser. Since God gave so great a sacrifice in sending his son, that's the greatest sacrifice ever, then how will he not also provide for the smaller things? If God's going to provide for the greatest things, he'll also take care of the smaller things. Jesus here uses the reverse argument. He uses the argument of lesser to the greater. He's already talked about the birds. They are lesser. Aren't you of greater value than they? That's an argument of lesser to the greater. If God takes care of the lesser things, he's going to take care of those things that are more valuable to him. Here Jesus makes the same type of argument. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If you can't do the least, as Luke tells us in a parallel passage, if you can't do the least, why are you worried about the greater? If you can't do the least of things, if by worrying you can't change 1 hour, you can't add 1 hour to your life, then why are you concerned about these things? Because you can't do the least. And if you can't do the least, you can't control the greater. Now, you find that worry occurs most often, at least it does in my life, worry occurs when I overstep my bounds of responsibility. When I start thinking about this argument of lesser to greater, and I start thinking, well, it's all under my control, it's all under my responsibility, and I start trying to pick up things that belong to God. And worry is going to be the natural result. But if I can't add an hour to my life by worrying, if you can't add an hour to your life by worrying, then you're trying to pick up things that belong to God himself. We overstep our responsibility, and that leads to worry. Now, we have burdens that come. When those burdens come, we try to handle them ourselves. The Bible does not condone that. You find in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Have you ever had that? Have you ever gotten a good word from God's word, and you're worried about something, and then God just, he hits you with his word, and you look at it and you say, oh, yes. Or maybe somebody calls you and says, hey, let me share this with you. Let me share what God's been speaking to me about. And they share it with you, and it's exactly what you needed to hear too. I had that happen very recently to me. And I got off the phone and I was, thank you, God. That's exactly what I didn't even know I needed it, but that's what I needed to hear. A good word makes him glad. If you're weighed down with a burden, if you're weighed down with a worry, let me encourage you, go to God's word. Understand that God is in control of all things, and God controls the big things, he controls the small things, he controls everything in between. And so you can go to him with your concerns and receive a word from God's word. In Psalm chapter 94, verse 19, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Your comforts. Where do we get God's comfort? From his word. We go to God's word. And God's word affirms over and over again that he is a good God, and he is a God who is in complete control, and that we can trust him. So that argument of lesser to greater proves true in all these areas of our lives. If that thing that you're worrying about, I mean, let me just ask it this way. Has worrying about that particular thing, has worrying in your life ever brought about a positive outcome? Now, I don't mean did you wait through it and a positive outcome came. I'm saying your worry. I'm not talking about responsibility. I'm not talking about concern. I'm saying worry. Chronic, sinful worry. Has that ever brought about a positive outcome? Well, if you really were honest about it, you would have to say, no, it didn't. Now, care and concern and attention is different from worry. You've never worried yourself into a positive outcome. Why? Because we're not in control of the little things. We're not in control of the big things. Let's read on. In verse 28, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Again, argument of lesser to greater. He's already talked about the birds. Are you not of more value than the birds? He's already talked about by worrying you can't do the single most thing, the single most simple thing of adding an hour to your life. Argument of lesser to greater. Here he is again. If God clothes the grass of the field, if he has flowers to come up and beautify the landscape, and God does that by his own power, aren't we of more value than the flowers? Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. That word Gentiles, it's a word that can be used to refer to the pagan world. Jesus says that the people who aren't even following God, those are the things that they're setting their mind on. Those are the things that they are most concerned about. And he's saying, but that's not what you need to worry about, because your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But back to verse 30. O you of little faith. That's your next point. The size of your faith will determine the size of your worry. The size of your faith will determine the size of your worry. He refers to them as O you of little faith. In Matthew alone, he refers to his disciples in four different occasions with those terms. O you of little faith. It's usually when they're facing some struggle, facing some obstacle, facing some difficulty, that they start voicing doubt or they start voicing fear, and Jesus refers to them as, O you of little faith. That word little that's used there, it has a double meaning. It can mean little in the sense of small. It can also mean little in the sense of brief. O you of small faith, or, O you of brief faith. Sometimes we say, well, I'm really wrestling with faith. I really feel like I need to have more faith. Maybe it's not the size of your faith that you need to be concerned about. Maybe it's the duration of your faith you need to be concerned about. Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it will move mountains. So it's better to have a little bit of faith that's enduring than a really big faith that stops short. Sometimes it's not the size, sometimes it's the duration. O you of little faith, of brief faith. It's when Peter steps out of the boat and he is walking on the water and he begins to sink when he looks at the wind and the waves. Jesus says, O you of little faith. Well, which one was it? Well, it was probably both. Peter was doing okay till he started looking at the wind and the waves, and then suddenly his faith became very, very small, very brief. The size of your faith will determine the size of your worry. Look on, this is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Notice this is a command. Do not be anxious about anything. That's not a suggestion. Paul doesn't write, it would be a good idea if you were not anxious. He says, do not be. That's a command. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. We're to be anxious for nothing but pray about everything. This is what he's saying. We are to pray about it. And you find this conditional promise in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He will. He will respond in that way. He will respond to us responding in faith. The size of our faith will determine the size of our worry. So often in my own life, I feel like I'm an expert worrier. I could write a book on it. Some of you may be the same way. Somebody wants to know how to worry, they just need to come talk to you. You can say, oh, I can lay it out for you. Let me explain it. I'm an expert worrier. Can I tell you what I'm really saying when I say that? I'm an expert in the sin of worry. That's what it is. It's a sin. Because when I'm truly, deeply worried, what I'm saying is, God, I don't trust you. That's what I'm saying. That's what you're saying. And we can try to sugarcoat it and say, well, you know, it's just that I'm concerned. Well, somebody's got to be concerned about it. And honestly, whenever we're worried, we're just telling God, God, I don't trust you. By our actions, by our attitude, by our speech, we're just saying, God, I don't trust you. Because those problems come. And when those problems come, you start seeing start seeing the real size of your faith. Because the size of your problem will reveal the size of your faith. The size of your faith will determine the size of your worry. Yes. But the size of your problem, it's going to reveal the size of your faith. You let a big problem show up and you'll see what your faith is made of. You'll see the size of your faith. You'll see if your faith is going to be a brief faith or an enduring faith just by the size of the problems that you face. Because a lot of times we do really well when it's a lightweight problem. But when a real big problem comes and then you start putting weight on your faith there, that's when it really shows up. I know there's a lot of guys in here and ladies who like to fish. I love to fish. But every now and then you'll hook into a fish and the equipment that you brought might not be sufficient for the fish that you catch. And so maybe you have some light tackle and some lightweight line, and you hook into something that is larger than you anticipated. That's an awesome day, okay? Can I get a witness on that? Some of my fishermen friends. Okay. You hook into it, and then what you know, if you're going to land that fish, there is a fight ahead. Because you'll let him run, and let him get tired, and then you'll kind of finesse him back, and then he'll come up, and then he'll decide he's going to run again. And you let him run, and you have to tire him out to bring him in. I was down on the coast back in the fall, and I was fishing for redfish and for speckled trout with a friend of mine's friends, and we were down there, and one of the guys was in the boat with me, and he's kind of a salty old guy, and he was fussing at me because I had put 40-pound braided line on my reel, and he kept making fun of it, and he said, "I've got 5-pound test on mine." I said, "Well, that's great." So he would cast, and he would hook into something, and then he would fight it, and he would let it run, he would fight it, and he would let it run, and he would reel it in, and it would run, he would fight it, and he was always working his drag and everything. I'd cast, something would hit it, I'd just haul him in. Lift him up and flop him over in the boat. And he started complaining about it. Like, "You should have put 40-pound test on your line, or on your reel." "I'm not worried about it. I hook into something, I'm just going to haul him in. I don't have time for this fighting thing." Fighting is great. It's a lot of fun. But if we're just going for quantity, I mean, come on. Let's just horse him in. Let's just, I mean, skittering him out across the water, just yanking him in, just pulling him in, snatching him along. It's the same way with our faith. Whenever those big problems come, and if the tackle of your faith is too lightweight, you're going to fight. You're going to struggle. You're going to have to just really finesse it in because you're so afraid. "I don't know how much weight I can put on this." If your faith is strong enough, you know what you can do? You can just sit there and just reel it in. "Oh, I got that problem. It's okay. It's okay. God's got this. God's got it. God's got it. God's big enough. He's strong enough to handle it. I'm not worried about it." It's the same thing. The size of your problem will reveal the size of your faith, and the size of your faith will determine the size of your worry. Look back in verse 32. "For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." We can trust that God sees our needs, and He knows our needs. He knows our needs before we even know our needs. And He knows that He is going to provide for us. We can have faith in God that He is going to show up, so we don't have to worry. Next, look at verse 32. Here's the alternative, okay? This is the opposite of what we're to do. He's already said, don't do this, and now He's saying, do this. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Don't lose sight of God today because you're focused on the things of tomorrow. And so many times we can do that. We lose sight of God in today, in the present, because we get so concerned about what is going to come, what might come tomorrow. And some of you, and I've been here, I've been there. Some of you worry like that. It's like you go into a period of calm waters and everything's going pretty well. You get worried. You get worried because you're afraid, well, the day's going to come that the storm is going to hit, and then I'm going to be worried about the storm that may or may not happen. Or there's this. This is like level 10 skill level with worrying, okay? When you reach this point, I mean, it's like you need a black belt in worry when you reach this point. You'll worry like this. Some of you are going to recognize it, you are like grandmasters, okay? Some of you recognize it, because I've done it before. It's this. You live with so much worry. Then you go into a period of calm. Then you get worried that you're forgetting something to worry about. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, everything seems calm and good now. What has slipped through the cracks? There must be something I need to worry about that I don't know that I'm supposed to worry about. And now I'm not worried, but I'm worried that I'm not worried because I know there's something I should be worried about. I know it's twisted, but that's what worry does. Worry takes you to that point. You can't enjoy the right now because you're worried about tomorrow. Because where your faith ends, that's where worry begins. And we find that Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We'll come back to that in a second. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Another command. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We practice what I like to refer to as reverse procrastination. It's not that we put off today until tomorrow, but we pick up tomorrow today. And we just practice this weird form of reverse procrastination whenever we worry. Jesus says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You've got enough to worry about right now today. Corrie Ten Boom famously said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Whenever Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, he means it. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Think about this. You have a toddler. Your toddler begins to walk. You don't immediately go out and buy the kid track shoes. Take him out to the track. You're doing so well. Come on. Let's do some 100-meter dashes. Got the Olympics in mind. You don't do that. You know, you work out, you don't go and say, okay, by 1 year from now, I'll be strong enough to lift maybe hopefully this amount. So I'm just going to start with that. You don't start with that. You work up to it. It's the same thing. We try to pick up all these burdens of tomorrow and we try to plan for tomorrow and run up ahead to tomorrow. And it never works out. We can't pick up tomorrow today. And you've probably heard me say, the thing I remind myself of often, since I have trusted God for my eternity, I can trust him with my next 24 hours. Because there's never been a positive change in my life that worry has created. Never. I need to trust him. And back in verse 32, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek God first. Focus on God. All that time and effort and energy that you would spend focusing on other things, take that and focus it upon God. Because he's ultimately the answer. God's trustworthy. We can absolutely trust him. And the other thing is, my worry does not glorify God. You can't name one way that your worry glorifies God. I can't name one way that my worry glorifies God. It doesn't. But seeking him first glorifies him. Seeking him first puts him in the appropriate place in my life so that I see him as he is for who he is. And then I worship him in that way. But I get so worried. I get so worried about things going on in my life and things about myself and things, my own concerns and my own worries. Remember the first point, God cares for you. As much as you may worry about you, God cares for you more. And God is in control. And I have to seek him first. And I have to seek him today. Not my worries of tomorrow, seeking them today. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 8, psalmist writes, fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. Fret not yourself, don't worry. It only tends to evil. Only. It doesn't have a positive result. Only tends to evil. Yeah, but you understand. Dustin, my problems that I have are so much bigger than the problems of my coworker. My problems that I have are so much larger than the problems that I once had. My problems are so much larger. My life is so much more negative than everybody's life on Facebook and Instagram. Really? Nobody posts their dirty laundry and negative stuff on Instagram and Facebook, okay? Everybody just wishes their lives were as good as they were on Instagram. Maybe, I'm comparing my problems to all of these issues. I'm comparing my problems to all these lesser things that these people wrestle with, or the lesser things that I once struggled with. Well, the point of comparison is off. I have to compare my problems in light of the cross. I go to the cross, and how big are my worries under the shadow of the cross? Not big. Because Jesus paid everything. And if God was willing to send his son and give him up and sacrifice him for my greatest need, then as Romans 8 shows us, then he's going to take care of all the lesser needs too. And some of you are locked in worry. Your families are locked in worry. You yourself may be locked in worry. It's hard to sleep. It's hard to eat. It's just constantly on your mind. There's one or two things, or maybe there's just a multitude of things that just constantly circulate in your mind, and you deal with one, and then another one comes up, and you deal with that one, and then another one comes up from a different direction, and you're just constantly dealing with that worry. It's exhausting, isn't it? Anxiety, as defined there in the New Testament, is that idea of being pulled apart, being divided, being pulled in two different directions. Only Christ brings that wholeness. We're not seeking Christ so that he will alleviate our worry. That's not the point. We're seeking Christ because Christ is worthy to be sought. And in the process, as a byproduct, he gives us his peace. As a product, there's a byproduct of seeking him first. We recognize that we can trust in him and we can rely upon him and we can turn those things over to him and he will take care of us. We can cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. I don't know where you're worried today. I don't know where you're anxious specifically, but I do know that a lot of us struggle with worry. And I know that only God can deal with that worry in the right way. If you're worried today, he offers hope. He offers peace. He offers a way that you don't have to worry because it's through faith. It's through faith in him that you can trust him. And if you're here today and you're wrestling with worry, maybe you want someone to pray with you, or maybe you just want to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you're here today and in light of the cross, you have come to an understanding that your biggest concern is salvation. And if that's the case, we would love to talk to you about that, because that's exactly what God did. God loved us so much, cared for us so much, that he gave his son so that we could be made whole and we could be restored and placed in a right relationship with him. That's the most important concern you have today if you've never done that. And if you have done that, that is the foundational bedrock that you can stand upon when any worries come, any fears rise, any doubts batter your heart. You can trust that God cares, that God is in control. If God takes care of the lesser things, he'll take care of the greater things. And if he has supplied our greatest need by sending his son, he will meet all of our lesser needs through him as well. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you're God and that we're not. Thank you that no matter what we face when we're out there on the brink, whether it's worries, fears, doubts, hurts, whatever it may be, that you go before us. That you are fully capable of handling everything that comes our way, because it has passed through you before it has reached us. God, thank you that you are who you are. Thank you for the care and the concern that you have shown us. Thank you for this passage today that we looked at where you come to our level and you explain in a way that we can understand why we don't need to worry. Because you're a God who cares, and you're a God who cares about the minute things in the universe, and we're your special creation. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise and glory for that. And Father, if there's anybody here this morning who's struggling and suffering under that burden of worry, and I know there are, I pray today would be that day where they take a step in the direction of trusting you with whatever burden they have, casting it off onto you, recognizing that you care for us. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Robert?